So welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu to enlighten us on the glories of Srimati Janwar Mataji. So Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. So thank you so much Prabhuji for giving your valuable association. So now I would like to hand over the call to you Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji. My humble obeisances to you, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for this opportunity to serve all of you today. We will start with Mangalacharan. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Thapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Gadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tise Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namo Bhakta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabharu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. Excuse me, Prabhu, Hare Krishna, excuse me for interrupting. It's going out, in and out for me. Is everybody else having that issue or just myself?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah. Okay, I will hold the phone. I will hold the phone. Is it better now, Mataji?
Yeah, it is good, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, my sincere gratitude to Her Grace Priti Vilasini Mataji for giving me this opportunity to serve all of you on this very, very auspicious tithi of the appearance of Srimati Janava Devi. This morning, His Grace Amarinder Prabhu gave a very, very enlightening, very informative, very inspiring, and very, very heart-touching class on the glories of Srimati Sita Devi, the eternal consort of Sri Ram. And today, in this class now, we will try for the next few minutes to glorify Srimati Janava Devi. Although I don't have any qualification, talent, realization, or knowledge, I request all of you to kindly bless me so that I may be able to serve all of you in a nice way. Thank you, dear devotees. Hare Krishna. So we will read one verse from Shri Bhakti Ratnakar of Narahari Chakravarti, 11.52. This verse was spoken by Srimati Durga Devi in glorification of Srimati Janava Mata. Nityananda Priyam Prema Bhakti Ratna Pradayinim Shri Janaveshwarim Vande Tapatraya Nivarinim Nityananda Priyam Prema. O Janava Devi, you are very, very dear to Nityananda Prabhu and you are his eternal consort. Bhakti Ratna Pradayinim, and you are the one who gives us the supreme jewel of Uttama Bhakti, pure devotional service. Shri Jahanaveshwarim Vande, I glorify you, O Srimati Janava Ishwari. And Janava Devi also is referred to as Ishwari because she is Ananga Manjari, she is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. She is the younger sister of Srimati Radharani. So she is called Shri Janava Devi, she is called Ishwari Devi. So Shri Janaveshwarim Vande, Tapa Traya Nivarinim. Tapa means the miseries, Traya means three types of miseries, Adhi Daivik, Adhyatmik and Adhi Bhautik. And Nivarinim means one who destroys the three types of, the threefold material miseries. Nityananda Priyam Prema Bhakti Ratna Pradayinim Shri Janaveshwarim Vande Tapatraya Nivarinim. Hare Krishna. So, my dear friends, today we will discuss a very small section from the ocean of the glories and pastimes of Srimati Janava Devi. Srimati Janava Devi was the daughter of Suryadas Sarkal, who was the older brother of Gauridas Pandit from Ambika Kalna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu have a very dear friend called Gauridas Pandit, and one of his older brothers was Suryadas. And Suryadas had two daughters, Vasudha and Janava Devi. And Janava Devi was the younger sister to Vasudha Devi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu's pastimes are very, very wonderful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a brahmachari student as Nimai Pandit, very, very accomplished. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became a grihastha. First, he married Lakshmi Priya Devi. Then, after Lakshmi Priya Devi wound up her pastimes on this earthly plane and went back to the spiritual world to participate in the Nitya Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the request of his dear mother, Srimati Sachi Mata, he married Vishnu Priya Devi. And after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the age of 24, he took sannyas. And then he went to Jagannath Puri and he was traveling. He traveled all over the southern India
different kingdoms, different places, and he preached. And after a victorious tour, he came back to Jagannath Puri. He also traveled to Neelachal. He went to Varanasi. So he preached a lot. He came to Bengal. He traveled and preached. And later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent the remaining 18 years, mainly in Jagannath Puri. And in Jagannath Puri, he would do Sankirtan. He would speak on the glories of Krishna Bhakti. And devotees from all over the country would come to Jagannath Puri to have darshan of this great personality, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was spending his time in Neelachal happily, surrounded by loving devotees like Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Rai, Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati Maharaj, Sarabhauma Bhattacharya, Gopinath Acharya, Maharaj Pratap Rudra, Kashi Mishra, so many of them. Happily the time was being spent. Haridas Thakur was staying with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri at Siddha Bakul, and his inseparable beloved associate Gadadhar Pandit was staying at Tota Gopinath Temple. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was spending his time very happily in Neelachal. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart was aching for the people of this world who were not getting Krishna consciousness. He was thinking about the people in the rest of the country. How will they get Krishna prema? And in this mood, on one occasion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Nityananda Prabhu, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's second self. Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda Prabhu that what is the use of you being such a renounced avdhut? You are completely immersed in Krishna prema. But if both of us remain like this, renounced as renunciates, then who will deliver the masses of people? Who will go out and preach to the sinful people? I am a sannyasi. I cannot associate with grihasthas intimately. I cannot go to places which are sinful. But someone has to go. It's me or you. I cannot go because I'm a sannyasi. Listen, my dear Nitai, listen to me. I want you to go back to Gaudadesh, go back to Bengal, and you get married. And as a grahastha, there is no restrictions on you. You can travel wherever you want, you can meet whoever you want, and you can preach to one and all without any restriction, without any distinction. Please do this for me. Prabhura agyaye paaye maage bhiksha. Bolo Krishna bhajo Krishna koro Krishna shiksha. Nadi agodrume Nityananda mahajan. Aparadha shunya hoy loho Krishna naam. Krishna mata Krishna pita Krishna dhana pran. Nadi agodrume Nityananda mahajan. In this way, Prabhura agyaye paaye, after receiving the orders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, who is non-different than Lakshman, who is non-different than Sri Balaram, he decided that I will become a grahastha to satisfy Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I will preach and I will preach. So taking some of his favorite associates like Das Gadadhar, Meenaketana Ramdas and others, Parameshwari Das, such great associates, Nityananda Prabhu left Neelachal, left the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu came to Bengal. He came to a place called Shaligram, which was the place where Gauridas Pandit's older brother Suryadas Sarkal was living. And as soon as Suryadas saw Nityananda Prabhu, he became very happy. He offered his obeisances to Nityananda Prabhu and asked him how he could serve. Nityananda Prabhu told Suryadas that it is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I should get married. Therefore, you give me both your daughters in marriage. And in this way, Nityananda Prabhu was married with great celebrations and festivities to the two daughters of Suryadas, Srimati Vasudha Devi and Srimati Janava Devi. There are different accounts of this pastime. Some of you may have read. I am narrating the account that I have read, which is given in the book Lord Chaitanya and His Associates by Srila Bhakti Vaibhav Tirth Maharaj in our Gaudiya Sampradaya. They are all descendants of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Nityananda Prabhu got married to Vasudha and Janava Devi. From Vasudha Devi, he had many sons, but all those children left this world as soon as Abhiram Thakur would come and offer them obeisances. This is also a very wonderful pastime. Maybe we can discuss this when it is the tithi of Abhiram Thakur. We can discuss this pastime. But when they were living in Kardaha, Nityananda Prabhu along with his two wives, Vasudha and Janava Devi, he had several sons from Vasudha Devi. But they all left this world as soon as the great Abhiram Thakur, the wielder of Jayamangal, would offer them obeisances. Finally, Veerchandra or Veerbhadra was born. Veerchandra, also called as Veerbhadra, was a son of Vasudha Devi and Nityananda Prabhu. And according to Kavi Karnapur's Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, Veerchandra, the son of Nityananda and Vasudha Devi, was an incarnation of Kshirodakshai Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Vasudha Devi gave birth to another child, a daughter, who was an incarnation of Srimati Ganga Devi. The holy river Ganga herself incarnated as a daughter of Nityananda Prabhu. And her name was Ganga. So Ganga and Veerchandra were the two children of Nityananda Prabhu and Vasudha Devi. From Janava Devi, Nityananda Prabhu did not have any children directly. But it is said that Nityananda Prabhu merged into the deity of Radha Bamkim Rai and disappeared from this world after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And similarly, Vasudha Devi also left this world. Vasudha Devi and Janava Devi, they are incarnations of Varuni and Revati, the two consorts of Lord Balram. And Janava Devi also is Ananga Manjari, the younger sister of Srimati Radharani, who is an incarnation of Balram. So Janava Devi took care of Veerchandra and Ganga, the two children of Nityananda Prabhu and Vasudha Devi, after their disappearance from this world. In fact, Janava Devi gave Diksha, initiation. She was the initiating guru to Veerchandra Prabhu and many, many other devotees also. She was the guru, Diksha guru and Shiksha guru of a very great devotee from Shrikhanda, the same village where Narhari Thakur, Mukunda and Raghunandan Thakur hail from. Very, very auspicious, holy place, Shrikhanda. From that village, one very nice devotee took shelter of Srimati Janava Devi. And Janava Devi gave him initiation. His name is Nityananda Das. This Nityananda Das, a disciple of Janava Devi, who came from the village of Shrikhanda, he wrote a book called Prema Vilas. This Prema Vilas is similar to Bhakti Ratnakar. It is a biography and a historical account of the descendants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's immediate descendants were the six Goswamis, the Vrindavan Goswamis. And after that was the generation of Narottam Das Thakur, Shamananda Pandit, and Srinivas Acharya. And their heroic activities are described in these books like Bhakti Ratnakar of Narhari Chakravarti and Nityananda Das's Prema Vilas. There is also, Narhari Chakravarti also wrote another book called Narottam Vilas, where also so many pastimes of Narottam Das Thakur are described. In Bhakti Ratnakar, Srinivas Acharya's life is described in detail. And also in Prema Vilas of Nityananda Das. So in this book called Prema Vilas, Nityananda Das describes the activities and glories of Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya. And he also describes some pastimes of Janava Devi. I would like to describe one such pastime, my dear friends, and see what practical lessons we can learn. Janava Devi, she developed a desire to travel to Vrindavan. Because Janava Devi was living with her son, Virchandra Prabhu, in Kardaha. And she had many disciples. She went to so many places. She preached. And at one point, she developed a desire to go to Vrindavan. So my dear friends, let me tell you something that was happening at that point in Gaudiya history. We are talking about a time period in the mid 16th century. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in 1486. He stayed on this planet for 48 years. And in the 1530s, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from our vision. In the 1530s, 1533 or something like that, 1534. And then, after that, in the mid-16th century, there was a major problem in the Gaudiya Vaishnava landscape of our country. So let us go back to the mid-16th century, my dear friends. So after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, after some time Nityananda Prabhu left this world, Advaita Acharya left this world, Gadadhar Pandit left this world soon after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srivas Thakur, who at that time was living in Kumarhat, he also left this world. So Advaita Acharya left from Shantipur, Srivas Thakur, Kumarhat, he left this world. Gadadhar Pandit was in Nilachal, Tota Gopinath Mandir, he left this world. And Nityananda Prabhu left this world also in Eastern Bengal. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left also from Jagannath Puri. So my dear friends, one by one, Pancha Tattva disappeared from this planet. All five of them were no longer visible to the devotees. You can only imagine the pain and the oceanic grief in which all the devotees were drowning. This ocean had no bottom. The devotees were just sinking, 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 sinking. All the direct associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were very, very heartbroken and depressed. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas at that time became divided into two camps. Hare Krishna. One was the Gaudiya Vaishnavas from Gaudadesh, the Bengali devotees. Their mood was to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit. That was their mood. All the devotees from Bengal and even Orissa, Nilachal, their mood was to worship Gaur Nitai. And to some extent Jagannath, of course, those who were from Puri. The second group of devotees were the devotees from Vrindavan and devotees who got connected to the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Their mood was different. They were primarily worshippers of Radha Madan Mohan of Sanatan Goswami, Radha Govinda Dev of Rupa Goswami, Radha Raman of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Radha Damodar of Jiva Goswami, and Radha Gopinath of Madhu Pandit Goswami, whose disappearance also happens to be today. Very, very great devotee, Madhu Pandit Prabhu. So the Vrindavan Gaudiya Vaishnavas, their mood was to worship Radha and Krishna. Most of the literatures that they read were Srimad Bhagavatam and the writings of the Goswamis like Brihat Bhagavatamrit, Hari Bhakti Vilas, Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, Lalita Madhav, Vidagdha Madhav. These kind of literatures they used to read. Whereas the devotees in the other group who were mainly living in Bengal, they were worshipping Gaur Nitai, they were speaking Bengali. They didn't speak Brajbhash, they didn't speak Sanskrit. And they would read Chaitanya Mangal, Chaitanya Bhagavat. These are the main books. They didn't have so much access to Chaitanya Charitamrit, because Chaitanya Charitamrit was written in Vrindavan by Kaviraj Goswami later on, much later. It didn't exist at that time. But Chaitanya Mangal was there, Lochandas Thakur's. Vrindavan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagavat was there, which was initially called Chaitanya Mangal. So these two books were the main books that the Bengali devotees were reading. So just go back around 5 centuries, my dear friends, and put yourself in that situation. There is no Facebook, there is no WhatsApp, no internet, no newspapers, no television. So there is so much geographical and physical disconnect between these two types of devotees. And some pilgrim would come from Vrindavan to Bengal, and devotees would ask him, "Oh, how are things in Vrindavan? How are the Vrindavan Goswamis?" And he would describe, "Oh yes, they speak Brajbhash, they speak Sanskrit, and they have written these books in Sanskrit, like Lalita Madhav, Vidagdha Madhav, Dan Keli Kaumudi, Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, Brihat Bhagavata Amrit, Hari Bhakti Vilas. These kinds of books have been written. They are all in Sanskrit." "Oh, really? And who do they worship on their altar?" "Oh, they have Radha Krishna." "Oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not there?" "No." "And they come to Bengal. Which deity is Vishnupriya Devi worshipping?" "Gauranga Mahaprabhu." "Which deity is Gauridas Pandit worshipping in Ambika Kalna?" "Oh, the wooden deities of Gaur Nitai that Gaur Nitai had given." So in this way, the devotees in Bengal were worshipping Gaur Nitai. They were speaking Bengali. They were reading Bengali texts like Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Mangal. And the devotees in Vrindavan were apparently in a different mood. So there was a type of a disconnect between these two types of devotees. Some devotees in Bengal were thinking that the devotees in Vrindavan have changed so much now. are doing their bhajan in Sanskrit, they are worshipping Radha and Krishna, they have forgotten our Gaur Nitai. They have forgotten Gaur Nitai who gave them all this. And the devotees in Vrindavan were not getting any news about the devotees in Bengal. What are they doing? Are they preaching or not? What are they doing? Has Mahaprabhu's Nam Sankirtan movement stopped? So in this way, there was a kind of a disconnect between the devotees who were living in Bengal and the devotees who were living in Vrindavan. And then what happened as a result of this disconnect, when it is not addressed, when such a misunderstanding is not addressed on time, then the rift increases. The differences increase with time. They don't decrease. There is no automatic healing in relationships. Unless we address the problem, unless we address the misunderstanding, the relationship is not going to become sweet. So as time went by, more and more differences arose between these two camps of devotees. And as a result of that, some devotees completely broke away and they started their breakaway faction. Seeing that the devotees in Vrindavan are worshipping Radha Krishna, some devotees in Bengal said, "Oh, Radha Krishna, Shri Krishna Chaitanya nahi anya." So therefore, if Radha and Krishna can have the Raslila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can also have Raslila. And therefore, they started meditating on themselves as if they are girls. They are females in Navadvip. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is their lover. They wanted to have conjugal rasa with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But our acharyas absolutely disagree with such a concoction. Absolutely disagrees with a concoction. That ruins the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a complete speculation and mental concoction. No. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is only one way to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. I repeat, there is only one way to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And that is through Bhav Bhakti. With love, in the mood of a devotee, we have to worship them. Not some concoction like, "I am the lover of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." This is nonsense. So such Nagari groups, they were called, such breakaway factions were created. And then many more came. There were Sahajiyas, Aul, Baul, so many. Atibari. They said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to come back and he's going to have his Raslila. He could not have Raslila because he was sannyasi. So that desire is unfulfilled. So he's going to come back. So these are Atibari people. So many such upper sampradayas came about. And those who were genuine devotees, they were also kind of distanced from each other, the two groups. So it was a very painful scenario. And at this historical point of time, my dear friends, one personality came to the rescue. And one personality made a difference. And that was Janava Devi. Srimati Janava Devi was respected by one and all because of her personal purity, her depth of scriptural knowledge, and her absolute authoritativeness. With humility. But she was such a great personality. Everybody respected her. When Narottam Das Thakur, his cousin brother Santosh Dev, and Narottam Das Thakur's dear friends, Ramchandra Kaviraj and Srinivas Acharya, they wanted to have the Kheturi Gaur Purnima festival for the first time, they requested Janava Devi to be the president of all the ceremonies and to preside over the entire Kheturi festival. So she was, a special boat was constructed by Santosh Dev, the Zamindar, the king of Kheturi area, who happened to be the cousin brother of Narottam Das Thakur. Santosh Dev, he had a special big huge boat constructed for Janava Devi. and it was taken. And from Kardaha, Janava Devi was invited. A special letter was sent, handwritten by Narottam Das Thakur. And when she came in that special boat along the Padmavati River, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Ramchandra Kaviraj, Santosh Dev, and all the devotees of Kheturi, they went running with flower garlands and sandalwood paste to receive Srimati Janava Devi. When she arrived at Kheturi, she was placed on a beautiful palanquin and she was brought. Although she didn't want any of this, she was brought to Kheturi. And she did the impossible task of uniting all the Vaishnavas. She would give such nectarian Harikatha. She would give such wonderful classes on Bhagavad philosophy, on Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that she united everyone. And everyone happily united against Janava Devi. She cooked for everyone personally. After the entire festival, all the six deities in Kheturi Gram were worshipped nicely. She reminded the devotees that let's do Kirtan now. Srinivas Acharya did the Prana Pratishtha. He did the first Aarti for all the six deities. Radha Vallabhikant, Radha Raman, Radha Krishna, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, all the deities that were there, six sets of deities. Srinivas Acharya did the Prana Pratishtha. And then she requested Narottam Das Thakur to do the Kirtan, lead the Kirtan. And Narottam Das Thakur did such a ecstatic Kirtan from his heart. He was playing kartals and some other devotees were playing mridangas. And as he was leading the Kirtan, there was a flash of lightning. How the lightning flashes in the sky when there is thunder and lightning. There was a flash in the courtyard of the temple that was constructed for the six deities where the Sankirtan was going on. Right in the middle, next to Narottam Das Thakur, who was sitting eyes closed and leading the Kirtan. There was a flash of lightning and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Nityananda Prabhu appeared. Advaita Acharya appeared. Gadadhar Pandit and Srivas Thakur also appeared. All these great devotees, the Panchatattva, they reappeared in the midst of that tumultuous Kirtan in the courtyard of the temple of Kheturi. And for some time, they ecstatically danced. When Srinidhi and Shripati saw their brother, Srivas Thakur, they ran to him, held his hands and started dancing in Kirtan. When Achyutananda saw his father, Advaita Acharya, he ran towards him and embraced his own father. Similarly, when Janava Devi saw her lord and master, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, dancing with Gauranga Mahaprabhu, she was overwhelmed with joy and gratitude. Gratitude for the intense devotion of Narottam Das Thakur, Shamananda Pandit and Srinivas Acharya, who had organized this festival and who were doing Kirtan with so much love. It was a beautiful sight. Beautiful sight. But just as suddenly as they had appeared, the Panchatattva disappeared. Just as they had appeared, they disappeared also. And all the devotees were crushed at losing this sight of the Panchatattva. They started crying. Some of them fell unconscious on the ground. Some of them were paralyzed. They were stunned. At that time, Janava Devi came and she told Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur, "Thank you so much for your devotion. Because of you, I was able to see Panchatattva. Now please start the celebrations of Holi. It is time." And she had beautiful colors not ordinary colors, but these colors were mixed with precious fragrances, fragrant colors. And she personally asked Srinivas Acharya to start decorating the deities, all the six sets of deities, with these fragrant colors which she had born, got for Holi. Because Gaur Puranima and Holi, same day. So then Holi was celebrated, and then she asked all the devotees to take the maha colors that were offered to the deities and sprinkle them on each other. And there was a grand Holi celebration. In this way, Janava Mataji, she proved it to the world that when Krishna is in the center and when Krishna Sankirtanam is in the center, everybody can unite. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Everybody united. Everyone united when they were doing Nam Kirtan. There was no distinction. This is the power of Nam Sankirtan. Janavadevi united everybody. And then when the festival got over, she begged permission to go to Vrindavan. Then Nityananda Das describes the first visit of Janava Devi to Vrindavan. And I would like to spend a few minutes talking about this. It's a very sweet visit of Janava Devi, Janava Mata, to Vrindavan Dham. She developed a desire to go to Vrindavan. And she is teaching all of us that we should all have desire to go to the Holy Dham. We should not become comfortable in our comfortable apartments or homes. Because at home it's very comfortable. In the Dham, it is a lot of austerities. There is air pollution. We don't have a comfortable house. We don't have all the amenities and facilities. So things are very austere. We may not have a washing machine there like we do here at home. So we don't have our own kitchen. So many austerities. We are not in our comfort zone. But even though there may be some austerities, we must be willing to tolerate. I remember I was talking to Mukundat Prabhu, a disciple of our Srila Prabhupada. Mukundat Prabhu lives in Vrindavan. And he was telling me, he is classically trained and he is a very, very good, sweet singer. He sings beautiful kirtans. And when he had come to Atlanta last year, he was asking me about his sore throat, because he has got a lot of chronic sore throat, especially when he gets exposed to certain environmental triggers like pollution, dust. His cough gets worse, sinusitis, congestion, and that makes it difficult for him to sing. So he was telling me that since I have moved to Vrindavan, because of the dust and the pollution, he gets a lot of cough and congestion and sore throat. And he was telling me that this is the experience of most of the devotees who go to Vrindavan. So I was asking him, how do we see this? How can we take this? That, then the natural thought process is that, okay, because in Vrindavan I'm having health problems, the air doesn't suit me, the water is too hard, so many reasons. Then we develop a feeling that, oh, let me live in my comfort zone. And he said that, yes, this is the test. The Dham is testing you. How serious are you for the Dhamvas? If you can tolerate these health problems, then you can take shelter at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. But Radharani will test you when you go to Vrindavan. So many impediments will be there. So many allurements will be there to leave the Dham. But see, so many years have passed and Mukundat Prabhu is very much there in Vrindavan doing his services. Just giving you an example that we all must develop a desire ultimately to take shelter of the Holy Dham. Srila Prabhupada teaches us with his own example. He was a Parivrajakacharya, traveling everywhere, preaching everywhere. But in his last moments, he developed a desire. He told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, take me back to Vraj. Vrindavan is my home. Like a true eternal Vrajvasi, Srila Prabhupada came back to Vrindavan after giving the whole world Vrindavan. So Janava Mata developed a desire to go to Vrindavan. And she took permission from all the devotees. And she said, I want to go from Bengal to Vrindavan now. So the author of Prema Vilas, Nityananda Das, he requested that, can I also come? There were some Matajis who were going with Janava Mata. And there were some servants also. So Nityananda Das requested, can I also accompany all of you to Vrindavan? And Janava Mataji very mercifully gave permission. And therefore Nityananda Das is able to describe in his book Prem Vilas what happened. So when they arrived in Vrindavan, first Janava Devi, she arrived in Mathura. And she offered her obeisances to the Dham as soon as she arrived. She had darshan of Akrur Ghat, also called as Vishram Ghat. And there she took her holy bath and she spent one night in Mathura. The next day morning she came, she walked to Vrindavan. And first she came to Radha Damodar temple where Jiva Goswami was there. And there she met Jiva Goswami. As soon as Jiva Goswami saw Janava Mata, he received her with great love and immediately made arrangements for her to stay in a very simple kutir. And he immediately sent for Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. And Rupa and Sanatan Goswami came to meet Janava Devi. And Rupa Goswami personally took Janava Devi on Vraj Parikrama. Just in the Vrindavan area, all the three temples and the holy places, Yamuna. Rupa Goswami personally took Janava Devi. Then, in reciprocation, Janava Devi, she organized a festival in Radha Damodar temple. She organized a festival for the pleasure of the deities and for the for the pleasure of all the Vrindavan Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and others. A nice festival was organized. And Janava Mataji paid for the expenses, for all the food, flower garlands, taking care of whatever needed to be taken care of. So this Janava Mataji is teaching us. And every day she would sit and cook for the Vrindavan Goswamis and their disciples. So Janava Mata is the consort of Nityananda Prabhu. She is in a spiritually superior position to all the Vrindavan Goswamis. Not only senior to them, being the consort of Nityananda Prabhu, but even from the social status also, she was very, very superior, because Nityananda Prabhu was non-different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the Vrindavan Goswamis, all of them were disciples or disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For example, Jiva Goswami was disciple of Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu is the equal of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His wife is Janava Devi. So she was at the level of the spiritual master of the Vrindavan Goswamis. But still, she is cooking for all of them every day. Now that I have come, you have all become very thin. As your mother, I will cook. I will feed all of you nicely. I will feed Sanatana Goswami. He goes for Govardhan Parikrama every day. He needs to eat. Rupa Goswami, you are writing thousands of books. You need good nutrition to nourish your body. Now, I am going to cook for you with lots of ghee. And in Vrindavan, they eat Vraj Roti. You are all Bengalis. You are used to eating rice. So I will make nice rice for you all as long as I am here. I will make nice Bengali items for you, which you may not get in Vrindavan. I'll make nice Bengali mithai for you, like Sandesh and Rasgulla for all of you. So she was cooking for the deities and feeding all the devotees. And every day she would eat last. And she would not eat large quantity. Janava, if she had cooked 12 preparations, she would take just a little bit of each preparation after everyone else had eaten. And she would sit and she would eat just a little bit of each preparation, just taste. And she would be happy that all these deities and all the devotees have enjoyed my cooking. That was her satisfaction. That was her nourishment. And even her physical beauty is described. Janavadevi was very slim. She was very austere. Just like Vishnupriya Devi. She was very austere. And she had a very effulgent golden complexion. And she was always surrounded by her female associates. Janavadevi. So she is teaching us a very important principle, my dear friends, that when we go as guests, sometimes the tendency is to just, okay, I am a guest, you know, I will receive the hospitality of my hosts, I will enjoy, I will just chill out. But Janavadevi is teaching us, even when we go as a guest, she is in the mood of contributing. She is in the mood of serving. She is organizing festival. Not that she is asking Rupa Goswami to organize festival. She is organizing festival. She is cooking. So much to learn from Janavadevi. Then she one day she called Rupa Goswami and she told him, Rupa Goswami, please tell me the wonderful qualities of Sanatan Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami and other associates that you have here in Vrindavan. Now just see, Janava Mata is calling Rupa Goswami and she is asking him to describe the glorious qualities of the other devotees in Vrindavan. This is how Vaishnavas should have conversations. When we meet each other, oh, Priti Vilasini Mataji, you are such a good friend you can take any Mataji's name, Kirtida Sundari Mataji or Shama Gauri Mataji, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji. You are such nice friends with these Mataji's. Can you please tell me some wonderful qualities? And then Priti Vilasini Mataji will start telling, yes, this Mataji is so humble. She has been doing this service for years. She has got, you know, so many responsibilities, family duties, but still every day morning she joins the Japa conference and she chants. She's attending the Bhagavatam class, Chaitanya Charitamrit class. She's also so humble, doesn't want any glorification. Like that, Priti Vilasini Mataji will start glorifying. And then I will ask Kirtida Sundari Mataji, can you tell me something about Priti Vilasini Mataji's nice qualities? And then she will start describing. So this is how conversations among devotees should be. Janava Mata one evening calls Rupa Goswami and asks him, please tell me the wonderful qualities of Sanatan Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And then Rupa Goswami very enthusiastically starts speaking. Which means when we are asked to describe the wonderful qualities of devotees, we should be very enthusiastic. Rupa Goswami says, what can I tell you about Sanatan Goswami? He is my older brother. He is so learned, so qualified. Everybody loves him. Hussain Shah loved him and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also loves him. He is loved by one and all. Very renounced. Janava Mata, he is very renounced. He is not attached to material possessions. And he has such deep love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, Sanatan Goswami is the personification of humility. And he is very good friends with Haridas Thakur also. Such a great personality. He starts glorifying. And have you read his books that he has written? Brihad Bhagavatamrita is full of nectar. Hari Bhakti Vilas tells us what we should do, what we should not do. In this way, Rupa Goswami started glorifying Sanatan Goswami. Then Rupa Goswami says, what can I say about Bhugarbha Goswami? Bhugarbha Goswami has taken initiation from Gadadhar Pandit, who is none other than Radharani. He lives in a small pit in the earth. Therefore, it's called Bhugarbha Goswami. Very, very renounced. What can I say? What can I say about Lokanath Goswami? He is a dear friend of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's completely sold out to Mahaprabhu. He's the personification of humility. He has accepted only one disciple. That also because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally told him to. Very, very humble. And I feel so fortunate, Janava Mata, that I have senior devotees like Bhugarbha Goswami, Loknath Goswami, Sanatan Goswami to watch over me. Otherwise, I would be finished. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he comes from such a high-class Brahmin family from South India. I have lost my caste because I was serving the meat eaters. But Gopal Bhatta Goswami, when he was a small child, For 4 months of Chaturmas, he personally served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every day in Sri Rangam. Glorious parents, Venkat Bhatta Goswami, such a great Vaishnav. And who doesn't know the glories of his uncle, Prabodhananda Saraswati? What wonderful literatures he has written, like Radharasa Sudhanidhi, Chaitanya Chandramrit, such a great devotee. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami is no less. He has assisted Sanatan Goswami in writing Hari Bhakti Vilas. And his pure devotion has invited Radha Raman, who is the condensed beauty of Madan Mohan, Govinda Dev and Gopinath. What can I say about little Gopal Bhatta Goswami? And then he starts glorifying Jiva Goswami. In this way, Rupa Goswami keeps glorifying. And after glorifying all of them, Rupa Goswami starts lamenting about his own fallen condition. And he tells Janava Devi, Janava Mata, all these devotees are very glorious, but I don't deserve to be in their association. I, Rupa Goswami, am the most fallen. Most fallen. Please have mercy on me so that I can get some of these qualities. Seeing the humility of Rupa Goswami, Janava Devi says, oh my dear Rupa Goswami, do you know the main reason why I came to Vrindavan? The main reason I came to Vrindavan is to meet you, Rupa Goswami. Visiting the dham, seeing the holy places is secondary. My primary purpose of coming to Vrindavan is to see you, Rupa Goswami. Because I have heard your glorious qualities from all these devotees. And all these devotees that you are glorifying, they accept you as their leader. And they all consider themselves Rupanugas. Which means, your followers. My dear friends, these are the loving exchanges between the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is what we have to follow in the footsteps. Then, after all this, one day Janava Mata tells Rupa Goswami, see the conversations, what they discuss, what they talk. One day, another day, Janava Mata calls Rupa Goswami. And she says, Rupa Goswami, I have great desire to hear your scriptures that you have written. Especially Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagdha Madhava, Dalita Madhava, Dana Keli Komudi. I wish to hear these four scriptures. Can you please tell me about these scriptures? Can you read the scriptures out to me that you have written? Because I have read Srimad Bhagavatam, but the topics that you have discussed in these four books, they are not to be found in detail in Srimad Bhagavatam. But I have seen that you have understood Mahaprabhu's mission, Mahaprabhu's mood, Mahaprabhu's love. And you have systematically presented that in your books. So please, please, I will never get such nectar anywhere else. Please tell me about these four books. Now Rupa Goswami, he is very embarrassed. He is very embarrassed to hear such glorification of his books. To please Janava Devi, he calls Jiva Goswami. And he says, Jiva Goswami is very learned. He is perfectly learned in all the chandas and all the meters and Sanskrit grammar. And he is very, very expert. And he assists me so much in my worship of Radha Govinda. He has assisted me for so many years in my writings. He has assisted me for so many years. He's so wonderful, Jiva Goswami. So Janava Devi, whoever reads these books will get your mercy. I want Jiva Goswami to get your mercy. Therefore, I request him to read to you. So big sabha was organized. An elevated asana was given to read from Rupa Goswami's books. And Rupa Goswami did not take the asana, but he gave the asana to his disciple, Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami sat on the elevated asana. And in front of Jiva Goswami is sitting Janava Devi with her associates. Rupa Goswami is sitting, Sanatan Goswami is sitting, Bhugarbha Goswami, Loknath Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they have all come. And they are sitting and listening to Jiva Goswami speak on Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, on Vidagdha Madhav. And Jiva Goswami on that particular day narrates a very special story. One day Srimati Radharani along with Lalita, Vishakha, and other sakhis was going through the forest of Vrindavan, carrying their buttermilk and butter and milk to sell it in the marketplace. And suddenly Krishna attacked them, stopped them, and said, I am the son of the king of Vraja. I am Vrajendra Nandan, Krishna. And I demand tax from all of you for all these goodies that you are carrying in those earthen pots. Hare Krishna. So Krishna, when he challenges the gopis like this and asks for tax, Srimati Radharani says, I am the daughter of Maharaj Brishabhanu. I am also the daughter of a king. And I don't recognize any other king. Therefore, I don't owe you any tax. And all the sakhis of Radharani, they support Radharani. Yes, yes, he has spoken very well. Very good, Radharani. Don't give in to the bullying of this Adi bully, this original bully called Krishna. Don't give in to him. Don't give him any tax. And then they're looking at Krishna. And Krishna, he tucks his flute in his belt, tightens his belt, and then he forcefully takes away Radharani's pot. And he starts eating the butter from Radharani's pot. Ah, this is very nice, very nice. I've got my tax. And when he forcefully snatches it from Radharani, Radharani chastises Krishna in a very loving way. She says, Krishna, you are the son of the very gentle Yashoda. You are the son of the very kind-hearted Nanda Maharaj. Then how come you have become so harsh? Can you explain this to me? How come you have become so harsh when you have such great parentage? Also look at your flute playing. Your flute playing is so sweet that it enchants our hearts. Then why do you engage in these lowly activities like stealing butter and buttermilk? When Radharani is finished chastising like this, then they have very beautiful exchanges and eventually Krishna leaves. As Krishna is leaving, to please the hearts of Radharani, Lalita Sakhi, Vishakha Sakhi and other gopis, Krishna pulls out his flute and starts playing on his flute as he is walking away from them. And Radharani, she is just watching Krishna and appreciating the sweet nectar of his flute playing. Very, very happy to hear Krishna's flute playing. And Radharani comments to her Sakhis, oh Sakhis, just listen to this beautiful flute. How sweetly Krishna plays. And just look at that flute. She is so fortunate. That Vamshi is so fortunate. We are deprived of Krishna's association. But just look at that flute. That flute is always with Krishna. Now he's playing his flute. When he's herding the cows, he's playing his flute. When he's playing with his friends, he's playing his flute. When he's having Ras dance with us, he's playing his flute. He's doesn't give up the flute at any moment. Even at night when he sleeps, he holds the flute against his heart and sleeps with a smile on his face. I've heard. Yashoda might talk like this, that Krishna sleeps with the flute. He hugs the flute and sleeps. This flute is so dear to Krishna. I wonder who is most dear to Krishna in this whole world. I wonder who. At this point, Lalita Sakhi speaks up. She says, I believe that the personality dearest to Krishna is our Srimati Radharani. Because Radharani, you are so expert. You are so beautiful. You are Radha Raman. You give pleasure to Krishna. And Krishna gives pleasure to you. Therefore, both of you are most dear to each other. And nobody is more dear to Krishna than you. Then Vishakha Devi speaks. She says, well, what you're saying is true, Lalita, but I think the flute is more dear to Krishna than even Srimati Radharani. Because Krishna leaves the association of Radharani, but he never leaves the association of his flute. Therefore, I say the flute is dearer to Krishna than Radharani. When Srimati Radharani hears this, she looks at Vishakha Sakhi and she says, oh Vishakha, if this is true, then let me go. Let me go to the foothills of Govardhan and I will sit under a wish-fulfilling Kalpavriksha tree and I will meditate on Krishna and I will give up my body so that Govardhan will fulfill my desire. Govardhano me dishatam abhishtam. Govardhan hill will fulfill my desire that in my next life I will be born as a bamboo plant and Krishna will make a flute out of me and he will keep me with him forever as a flute. I will give up my body as Radharani and in my next life I will be reborn as Krishna's flute. Come, let me go to Govardhan and give up my body. As Jiva Goswami is reading from the books of Rupa Goswami this particular story, Janava Devi starts crying uncontrollably. Jiva Goswami has to pause his reading. Janava Devi is not able to control her emotions. She's completely swept away by this Leela. And she looks at Rupa Goswami and says, Rupa Goswami, what have you written? This is magical. This is so sweet. This type of nectar is not to be found in any other scriptures. This is so sweet. She gets up, goes to Jiva Goswami and starts looking at Rupa Goswami's books. And she says, Rupa Goswami, your handwriting is so beautiful. Each and every alphabet that you have written on these palm leaves is like a precious pearl. Your handwriting is so good. And then she looks at Jiva Goswami and says, oh little Jiva, your voice is so sweet. It is sweeter than the cuckoo bird. With so much love, feeling, you are reading from your Gurudev's books, from Rupa Goswami's books, that it touches our heart. And it is by the sweetness of your love, devotion and voice that we are enthralled by Rupa Goswami's books. Thank you. So see Janava Mataji's character, how she is individually, specifically glorifying each other. She is glorifying Rupa Goswami for his handwriting, glorifying Jiva Goswami for his sweet cuckoo-like voice when he's reading. This is genuine appreciation, my dear friends. Sometimes we just say we glorify, but we don't mean it. But when we specify why we are glorifying, then it is purifying for us and it is convincing for others. So Janavada is teaching us how genuinely she loved and appreciated all the devotees. And then one day, Janava Mataji expressed her desire to Rupa and Sanatan Goswami that I want to go to Radhakund because I have not seen Radhakund, Shyamkund yet. I have not met Raghunath Das Goswami. I have not met Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So I desire to go there with my associates. Please give me your permission. Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami fall at the lotus feet of Janava Devi and they tell her, please go. If you have that desire, please go. Who are we to stop you? But our only request is, please come back soon to Vraja from Radhakund because we cannot live without your association. Please come back. Taking their blessings and permission, Janava Devi leaves Vraja to go to Radhakund. So this reminds us, my dear, we are almost done. This reminds us of a very common saying that some people bring happiness wherever they go. I repeat, some people bring happiness wherever they go and some people bring happiness whenever they go. So Janava Devi belongs to the former category. She brings happiness wherever she goes. And we should try to be like that. We should not try to be someone like Ramchandra Puri who criticizes and finds faults. And therefore, Ramchandra Puri brought happiness whenever he went. Whenever he went away, devotees were happy. But wherever he would go, devotees would be sad because he would criticize. So we should try to be like Janava Devi. She's leaving Vraja and going to Radhakund and Rupa Sanatan Jiva Goswami are crying because they cannot live without her. They were so attached to her. So then Janava Devi goes to Radhakund and there, as soon as the news reaches Raghunath Das Goswami that Janava Devi is coming, his heart is over flooding with emotions. Raghunath Das Goswami is remembering how he was trapped in material existence. But it was Nityananda Prabhu at Panihati who rescued him, who blessed him and empowered him to surrender to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that Nityananda Prabhu's consort is Jahanava Devi, and she is coming to Radhakund to meet me. Raghunath Das Goswami is overwhelmed with emotion. He gets up to greet Jahanava Devi, falls at her feet, and Jahanava Devi offers obeisances to Raghunath Das Goswami. And they both sit and they talk. And then Jahanava Devi tells Raghunath Das Goswami that please take me to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. I have heard that he also sits here at Radhakund. And immediately Jahanava Devi goes and takes darshan of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami cannot believe his good fortune that Jahanava Devi has come. Jahanava Devi has come. That Nityananda Prabhu who had come in my dream and who had rescued me from my family life, who had told me that you leave everything and you go to Vrindavan and there you will attain all things. That Nityananda Prabhu, my savior, he has sent his consort, he has sent his Shakti to rescue me, to give me association, give me mercy, give me blessings. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is so happy. Then Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami sit at the lotus feet of Jahanava Devi. Jahanava Devi sits at the Jahanava Baithak on Radhakund. And they begin talking. They start asking about the welfare of devotees in Bengal. And Jahanava Devi gives them all reassuring news. And then Jahanava Devi inquires from Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami, you are a resident of Radhakund. Please tell me the glories of Radhakund. At that point, Raghunath Das Goswami very humbly responds that the glories of Radhakund are known to my superiors, like yourself, like Rupa Goswami, like Sanatan Goswami. I am nothing. I am very fallen. But still, because you are asking, I will describe to you based on what Rupa Goswami has written in his books. Because Rupa Goswami writes about the glories of Radhakund. In fact, his Nectar of Instruction concludes with the glories of Radhakund. So Raghunath Das Goswami is not just giving a free-flowing lecture. He is saying that Jahanava Devi, because you are asking, I will speak the glories of Radhakund, but what I am speaking is strictly based on what Rupa Goswami has written. And he tells the glories of Radhakund to Jahanava Devi. And then, as he is describing the glories to Jahanava Devi, few days pass away. And then Jahanava Devi also goes on Govardhan Parikrama, Radhakund Parikrama with Raghunath Das Goswami and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. And then one day, the author of Prem Vilas, Nityananda Das, asks a question to Raghunath Das Goswami. He says that Radhakund to Govardhan is 4 miles. Radhakund to Vrindavan is 16 miles. Govardhan to Nandagaon is 4 miles. And from Nandagaon to Yavat is 2 miles. So all these places are so far away, many, many miles away. How is it that Radha and Krishna in their Leela, they are able to meet each other so quickly? Within a moment they are together. Although these places are so far away. How do we understand this? Our Nityananda Das, the author of Prem Vilas, is asking this question in the presence of his guru, Jahanava Devi, to Raghunath Das Goswami. Because Raghunath Das Goswami and Jahanava Devi are discussing, and this question comes to his mind. So he presents this question very respectfully, knowing that it will please Jahanava Devi. And Raghunath Das Goswami says, I will respond to you, my dear Nityananda Das. And it is Raghunath Das Goswami who explains that Vrindavan Dham is like a lotus. And all these places like Yavat, Barsana, Nandagaon, Govardhan, Vrindavan, Radhakund, these are all like different petals of that lotus. And just like the lotus opens and closes, similarly, to facilitate Krishna's Leela, these places are also not so much separated by space. All these places exist to facilitate Krishna's Leela. Raghunath Das Goswami tells Nityananda Das that Krishna Leela is of two types. There is Prakata Leela, which is manifest Leela, and there is Aprakata Leela, which is non-manifest pastimes. And he says, when the Prakata Leela is not going on, the Aprakata Leela is always going on. The Ashtakala Leela is always going on in Vrindavan, but we don't have the eyes to see it. And wherever a devotee of Krishna in Vrindavan has to go to perform the pastime with Krishna, it is Krishna's Yogamaya Shakti that instantly transforms without anybody realizing also. So in the material world, we are separated by time and space. You may have an aeroplane to go from one place to the other, but still it takes time. If you drive to the airport, security check, sit in the airport, sit in the aeroplane, then travel, then come out of the aeroplane, baggage claim, then come out, then drive to the home. So much time it takes. Even though we may have all science and technology advancements. But in the spiritual realm, there is no such thing as separation in time and space, because the spiritual world is beyond the realm of time and space. It is Krishna's Yogamaya Shakti. It is Vrinda Devi. It is Paurnamasi who facilitate all these leelas. And everybody is moving in Vrindavan, in the spiritual realm, according to the desire of Krishna, to serve Krishna. So all these esoteric truths, which we have heard from Prabhupada and in ISKCON, but it is interesting that the source is found in our scriptures, in such conversations. So Raghunatha Goswami explains this to Nityananda Das. And in this way, very wonderful time passes. Then Nityananda Das asks another question to Raghunatha Goswami. How can I attain perfection in my bhajan? At that point, Raghunatha Goswami says that you should ask this question to Rupa Goswami, because he has written so much about bhajan, how to chant the names, what are the do's and don'ts in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in Upadeshamrit. You should ask from him. It will benefit you greatly if you hear from Rupa Goswami. Again, we are being taught by this example that how, when we are asked question, if we know that somebody is more qualified than us to answer that, we should swallow our pride, swallow our ego, and direct the person to that Vaishnava from whom he or she will get maximum benefit. That is humility. So there are so many. Then the Leela continues. Then Jana goes back to Vrindavan, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. There are pastimes with Radha Madan Mohan that take place when she takes darshan. But we are out of time. But these are just some thoughts I wanted to share about Janava Devi. How the sweet, wonderful Vaishnava etiquettes they followed, and what we can learn from these great souls. So these were some of the points I wanted to discuss. I will stop here. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimati Janava Devi ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Are there any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Padma Lakshmi Devi Rasi here from Connecticut. Prabhuji, I have one question. Can I ask quickly?
Yes, yes, Madhavi. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you were mentioning in the starting of the call that the sons of Nityananda Prabhu and Vasudha Devi were all dying because of Abhiram paying obeisances. So as we know from Abhiram's Prabhu story that whoever doesn't have the devotion to Krishna, pure devotion, they will, die or like that, right? And the deities will burst out. So how do we understand, because Nityananda and Vasudeva, right, they are the eternal associates. So how can we understand their child dying because of the obeisances of Abhiram?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji, for this very nice question. This is answered in the past time only. Abhiram Thakur himself explains, because Vasudha Devi is very, very heartbroken at the death of her six sons. I think it is six sons who die. Total, they had eight children. Veerbhadra and Ganga were seventh and eighth. And six sons died before that. So Abhiram Thakur himself explains, when the seventh child, Veerchandra, is born and he offers obeisances and nothing happens, he survives, he smiles. That time Abhiram Thakur explains the reason why he did that, the six times. He says that you are Revati and Balaram. Vasudha and Nityananda Ram, they are Revati and Balaram. You are the personality of Godhead. And therefore, if you give birth to a Jivatma, then I am not happy with it.
you should give birth to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wanted the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be born. And therefore, whenever a devotee would take birth as a child of Nityananda Prabhu and Vasudha Devi, Abhiram Thakur would send that devotee back to Godhead. Would send back to Godhead. Because naturally, they are leaving their body in the presence of Abhiram Thakur, Vasudha Devi, Janava Devi, Nityananda Prabhu. There is no doubt. In a holy place like Kardaha, no doubt. So they would go back to Godhead. But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as a child of Nityananda Prabhu, then Abhiram Thakur was satisfied that now Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared, and therefore now the whole world will be delivered. Now the missionary work of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will continue because the Godhead himself has appeared. Therefore, in Gaur Ganadesh Deepika, it is mentioned that Veera Chandra, the son of Nityananda Prabhu, is non-different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu himself. So Abhiram Thakur was doing this because in his mind he wanted the Supreme Lord to appear as the son of Nityananda Prabhu. And therefore, whenever a Jivatma would come, he would do that. Offer obeisances and finished.
Thank you, sir.
Hare Krishna.
The nice explanation. Thank you. Thank you for the nice class too.
Dasosmi. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Bhagavad Krishna, Prabhupada. Thank you so much for such a beautiful narration, such a beautiful class you gave on the glory of Srimati Bhagavad Akarani. Actually, one question was already answered because I was asking that Janava, from Janava Devi and Vasudha Devi, who was Revati and who was Varuni. But in the previous answer, you know, the answer that you gave for the previous question, you already answered. So, in the extension of what Mataji asked, that you said that he wants the Supreme Lord to appear, and that's why all the six sons, you know, they went home back to Godhead. Then, how do we understand about the girl child, like Ganga Devi? But, yes, definitely she's not Jivatma.
Yeah, she is also not Jivatma. So actually it is mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says that the Lord appears in five forms. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat, five forms. And one of the forms is Ganga. So therefore certainly it is not a...
Can you tell me the other four forms also, if you don't mind?
I will send you the exact verse, Mataji. I'm not able to remember exactly. But one form is Ganga, and one form is Bhakta. The devotees are also a form of Krishna. And Vrindavan Thakur goes on to say that the Vigraha, the Shri Vigraha form of Krishna needs a Prana Pratishtha to become God. It's a statue, but it's a Murti. But after you do Prana Pratishtha, the Murti becomes Shri Vigraha. But these five forms of Krishna are Sakshat Krishna. One is Ganga, one is Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. One is the holy name, third is the holy name, and fourth is Bhaktagan, and fifth, I think, is Dham, but I'm not sure. But I will find the verse, and I will send you, Mataji, and you can share it on the group. But it is said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in these five forms. Sorry.
But if Bhakta is one of the form, then rest of the six sons, they were also Bhakta, right?
Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji. Yes, you are right. I don't know the answer to that. Hare Krishna. But Abhiram Thakur says that I wanted the Supreme Lord to come. So he wanted Veerabhadra to come like that.
thank you,
Mataji.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Kirtida Sundari Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, Jashira Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for the beautiful class. Very inspiring and very life-giving, kind of. I have one question. Like you were mentioning about Mother Janava, that means wherever she went, basically she was always in that mood of service, even though her position was like very high, And also that wherever she went, she brought the liveliness, like the happy, made all the devotees and the whole atmosphere very happy. So I just, something came to my mind when I was hearing this. Many, sometimes it so happens that like when I mean, I am myself lost in some kind of a problem or something, then wherever I might go, I might be not bringing happiness, but making taking that mood of, you know, distress or something, and taking it to others. So when, like, one is in such a space, then it's better to just stay away, or, like, you know, or, like, I was also actually thinking in this term that, like, in that situation, if you are in association of devotee, and if you, devotees, and you just hide your problems and all that, and just, like, you know, be happy, kind of, will it be not duplicitous, kind of? I'm just that thought came, Prabhu, so I wanted to clarify with you.
Hare Krishna. We should try, Mataji, as far as possible to bring happiness to devotees. In Bhagavad Gita, as we know, Krishna says, Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priya hitam chayat swadhyaya abhyasanam chayva vangmayam tapa uchyate. I think this is in the 18th chapter, I believe, somewhere in towards the end of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, what is the austerity of speech?
Mm-hmm. He says, 17, 15.
Haan, 17, 15. Thank you. Anudvega karam vakyam. That our words should not bring distress or... what is the exact word Prabhupada uses? Anudvega karam vakyam. Anudvega means to agitate. Haan. Our words should not agitate people. So we should speak words which are non-agitating. Udvega means to agitate. So anudvega means non-agitating words. Anudvega karam vakyam. Satyam. The words should be truthful. Priya, they should be pleasing, hitam chayat, and they should be beneficial. The person to whom we are speaking, our words should benefit that person in some way. They should be truthful words, they should be kind and pleasing words, and they should be beneficial, and they should not be agitating. And then another way to train our speech, control our speech, purify our speech is swadhyaya abhyasanam chayat. That always we should do abhyas. Repeat the words of the scriptures. Swadhyaya abhyasanam chayva vangmayam tapa uchyate. This is called the tapa of speech. So therefore, with our speech, with our vani, we should try as far as possible not to agitate others, not to harm them or make them sad. But if we are feeling contaminated, if we are feeling that we are bringing unhappiness to devotees, yes, Mataji, it is better to keep mum. It is better to be in a solitary environment and just chant Hare Krishna, so we can purify the internal environment of our consciousness. And then when we are feeling, we are experiencing the love, we are feeling the good vibes, we are feeling sweet emotions in our heart, then we can associate with devotees. If I understood your question correctly,
yes, Prabhu, yeah, some kind of it was like this only.
Because I have experienced one thing, Mataji, that sometimes when something is bothering us about a devotee, and we have some negative thoughts in our mind, we caution ourselves that it will be Vaishnava Aparadha, so I'm not going to speak. When I interact with that devotee, I will not speak this. But I've experienced this so many times that there is something in my mind about a particular devotee, and I'm going to meet that devotee, I'm going to associate with that devotee, but I remind myself, I will not speak about this topic. Because, you know, no, I don't want to speak negative. It will be Vaishnava Aparadha. And Mataji, is not once, not twice, not thrice. So many times I've noticed, when I'm associating with that devotee in that consciousness, along the conversation, somehow the topic will go to that topic, and I will blurt out. What I had promised myself, I will not blurt out, I blurt out. With negative consequences, of course. So, therefore, it is better that we keep mum and chant and pray for purification until we feel the love, until we feel, you know, sweet emotions, then it is good to go. Otherwise, we can cause more damage. I have experienced this many times in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is regret later on.
Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It's really like, I mean, I just, it, the thought came, and it happens because many times that when we meet with devotees, then there is something, and it might happen that it might, instead of bringing happiness, it might bring something. Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Kasturi Manjari Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
Prabhuji.
Oh, Mataji, go ahead, please.
Okay, Mataji, thank you. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for such a wonderful class, Prabhuji. As always, you always teach us so many valuable lessons. And one thing that particularly struck was that you were talking about the beautiful devotee relationships, how one praises the other and how, you know, one is always glorifying the other so beautifully. And it's just so much humility, and it's always so genuine. And in the same light, I was trying to get, so for the Bhakti Sangha website, we were just trying to get speaker bios and in small introductions for all of them. And I was contacting Preeti Vilasini Mataji and Kirtida Sundari Mataji and all for that. So Preeti Vilasini Mataji gave me your bio, and then she was giving me Kirtida Sundari Mataji's bio, and then in turn, so when they are talking, like, today, Kirtida Sundari Mataji sent me the most beautiful introduction for Preeti Vilasini Mataji. And I was just thinking about the same thing, because you just mentioned it. You put their names together and you were talking about them. And I just wanted to tell you that is so true in Bhakti Sangha, how they were glorifying each other so well. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And thank you to Bhakti Sangha. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji, for this wonderful comment. Can I please know your good name, Mataji? I didn't
This is Indu, Prabhuji. Indu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Indu, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Prabhuji, your comment was... Our Indu Gopi is working hard in all the lectures, keep in Google, and she is working. She is the technical leader of our Bhakti Sangha group.
Hare Krishna. I think Indu means the moon, na? Hindu,
yes, Prabhuji.
So just like the moon beams, they spread nectar and they give nectar to the fruits and vegetables. Our Indu Gopi Mataji is also, through her services, she is spreading the nectar of bhakti through bhakti.
Hari bol.
Hari bol. So nice.
The other way around, I was talking Kirtida Sundari Mataji and Kirti Vilasini Mataji, and how all of you are such wonderful devotees, Prabhuji. We are nowhere. I'm totally nowhere in the picture. Please, thank you so much, and all glories to all of you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Dandavats to all of you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, thank you so much for the beautiful and nectarian class. It's wonderful to know about glories of Mother Janwari, we on this auspicious day from you. And it's wonderful to know how Mother Janwari, we played a big role in bringing Vrindavan devotees and Bengali devotees together again. But it's a little difficult for me to understand, like, how there was a disconnect between them. Like, there was no knowledge. Like, they did not know that, like, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna are the same. Or what was it exactly, Prabhuji? I'm not able to understand that exactly.
Oh, no, Mataji. It was just a geographical barrier had created, like, two different sentiments. It was perceived by the Bengali devotees that the Vrindavan devotees are more into Radha Krishna worship, even okay. though they are Gaudiyas, and okay. they are not giving so much importance to Mahaprabhu, because they don't have Mahaprabhu's deities, they don't have Mahaprabhu's literature, and the Vrindavan devotees also were not so much connected with the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because the mood was a little different. For example, how imagine if there are some devotees from... Which state are you from, Mataji?
Here in
India?
US? India.
Which state?
I am from Pune, Prabhuji.
Pune. So suppose there are some devotees from a small place like Satara, Sangli, They are also ISKCON devotees only, initiated nice devotees, and they suddenly come to Juhu temple. There will be little bit this now that, oh, these Juhu devotees speak English. Oh, they are used to this opulent Govinda's restaurant, and their lectures are what, PowerPoint presentation. But we are, you know, simple people from small town. So how there will be little difference? So like that, there was some difference in the way the devotion was being carried out. But Janava Mataji came, and she brought, especially in the Kheturi festival, she brought all the devotees together, and she showed them that how there may be some differences, but still, when we do Sankirtan, when we serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are all united. We are all united.
Mm. Okay.
Sorry, Mataji, I was not able to explain properly, but I tried.
No, Prabhuji. I understood. Right. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank
you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I just wanted to say thank you so very much for the class, and thank you. You answered a question that I've been wondering about for a very long time in regard to Radha and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and how they met so quickly, even though, you know, each place was 2 or 3 miles apart from the other. And when I was in Vrindavan last year, I was talking to some other devotees, and that's what we were saying to one another. How did that happen? And you answered the question. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Jai. This is there in the scripture, Prema Vilas. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, thank you so much for flooding us with nectar, as always. Very beautiful glories of Janava Mata, and it's really to hear from you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for flooding us in this nectar, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Wonderful class, beautiful glories. Every part of the class was very nice. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Priti Vilasini Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to all of you. We'll offer obeisances to each other. Mancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
His grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
All glories to all of
you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you
so much,
Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Koti koti dandavat pranam. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the class. Hare Krishna.